Welcome to EnviroPod, a chance to catch up with all the good things your Department of Public Works and Environmental Services does to maintain and improve the environment in Fairfax County. I'm your host, Bob DeMarco, and on this edition of the show, I'm welcoming back Katie Torgerson from the Solid Waste Management Division. And today we're talking about two new recycling efforts, the textiles recycling and books recycling programs. Katie, welcome back to EnviroPod.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Excellent. So first, before we get into the weeds with some of these new recycling efforts, give us a sort of 30,000-foot view of the county's recycling program.
Most people, I think, are familiar with the curbside recycling, right? The stuff that you bring to, you know, next to your mailbox and it's picked up by your collector. So that material goes to a regional recycling facility, and the county actually doesn't own one of those. We rely on several private companies that run them. In that case, you know, those materials go and they're processed and sorted, and they go out and they're sold to end markets that make new things. What's nice about the county is we are able to supplement that with a lot of other recycling services for things that you can't put into that bin. So we have two facilities, one at the I-66 transfer station and one at the I-95 landfill complex. In Fairfax and in Lorton, where you can bring these harder to recycle items to be you know for reuse or recycling, and those range from electronic waste to metal recycling and glass. And these services are free to residents and are a really great way to help kind of divert more waste from our trash stream.
I always have to bring up glass recycling, and I'm really excited to hear that the glass now gets turned back into bottles and glass instead of just being used as construction gravel.
Yes, exactly. So those are the things that we're trying to mirror in other recycling services, is to find ways to basically create that circular economy where you've got things that you know would normally maybe people are putting in the trash before they're able to divert and create something new and keep that resource intact.
Yeah. How does the county's zero waste goal steer your programming? We've heard a lot about the zero waste initiative here from the Board of Supervisors. How strong is that a wind in steering your ship?
Well, it's a big part of our messaging now is, I think people, when they think of solid waste, they think of kind of the end process of disposing of waste and getting rid of it. And we're really trying to focus on that reduce, reuse, recycle component because we're kind of strange in the way of we're trying to get rid of the trash that we're supposed to be processing. We want to find other ways to use it. I think the big thing is, you know, there's a cost, right, to managing trash. You've got to transport it, and then you've got to burn it. In our case, it's burned at a waste-to-energy plant. And then we've got to get rid of the ash at an ash fill. And that's what we have now, but eventually we're going to run out of space there. And if we have to take that ash out of the county, that's going to have a huge cost. So we are trying to find ways to extend the life of our Asheville site and meet our zero waste goals, you know, because on top of just the cost of the operation, there's the cost of just wasted resources, right? A lot of the things that we are burning are great assets that we should be finding ways to use again. So those are ways that we're trying to work as well.
How much of the garbage that we throw away actually goes to Covanta and gets burned for energy?
All of it generally will go to Covanta or what's called ReWorld now to be burned. There are cases where Covanta or ReWorld's under maintenance or for some reason, we can't send all of the waste there. And in that case, we actually have to cart it all the way down to King George County, which is an hour and a half away. So if you think about the amount of trash we generate each day and then the trucks that have to cart it down, you know, the impact on the environment's pretty big.
Yeah. I never really thought about the ash. Of course, there's resulting ash from burning all that trash. So you say Asheville, is it just a big kind of hole in the ground or?
Mm-hmm. It is. Okay. So we have the 95 landfill complex has a closed landfill, which was your kind of the one you typically think where they would dump all the trash and bury it. Mm-hmm. And now, but they also have an active Asheville site where they are taking, you know, ReWorld's right next door. So they take the trash or and then they burn that, remove the metals, and recycle those. And then the ash is buried as well.
Wow. Okay. So I mentioned these two new recycling initiatives up front. Tell us about the textiles recycling.
The textile recycling is a partnership with Helpsee, which is a business that is dedicated to trying to divert textile waste and find recycle clothing, shoes, and other like household textiles. We started a pilot program at the 66 transfer station late January, and it's was extremely successful. We actually started with just two bins for drop off there. We had to extend it to six bins and go from one to twice a week pickup because it was so popular. And since January, we've picked up 57 tons worth of textiles. So those residents have really taken to the program. And what we've learned is I think people want to do the right thing. They, you know, but textiles and other things, it's hard to find a place to bring them to make sure that they get recycled or reused. So we kind of tried to meet that need. That was something that we heard from residents a lot is where can I bring things? So we are working on, we just put new bins at the 95 landfill complex for use for residents, and we're looking on expanding it to other county facilities as well so that we can make it more convenient for people to drop them off.
As a father with kids, we go through a lot of clothes. They're, you know, still growing. We donate a lot of clothing, as I'm sure most households do, so that people can continue to wear them. But especially when the kids are little, there's some things you just don't want to give away. They've gotten nasty. And so I think I can see how glass gets recycled or how aluminum gets recycled. In my mind, it all just gets melted down. I'm not sure if that's how it happens. But I have no idea what do you do with fabric?
So what Helpsee does is they actually take the things that are donated by our residents and bale them into big, bulk items that are sold to companies mostly within the United States that will sort them. So I think about 45 to 60% of the clothing will be sold at secondhand stores, either in North or South America. And then another, I think 25% or so are, they start to sort by material composition. And so some are used for rags. And they sell to companies that basically create the rags, mm-hmm. textile recycling. And then another piece is used for insulation stuffing, yeah. basically. And only 5% is thrown away ultimately. And that may be because of, it's moldy or there's something wrong with it.
Right.
But
that's so cool to me. What other kind of potential recycling partnerships are you eyeing up? We have Helpsee, mm-hmm. This company that's helping with the fabrics recycling. What other kind of ways can Fairfax County partner up with other private companies?
Well, I think we're looking for opportunities where, we can work with either, stewardship groups or even businesses that help divert waste. And also what's nice about Helpsee is we get back a small piece of the of the profits of the sale of the materials. So for every ton donated, we get $160 back. And that goes directly into our services. You know, some things don't cost much to recycle, but others, you know, for example, like a old TV, there's a cost associated with it. So we are trying to, you know, basically supplement those costs with with the revenue in from these services, which is great. And so we've, you know, we're looking at, we've partnered with Cult to Recycle to help recycle batteries, both single use and rechargeable. And then we've got this new book recycling pilot coming on board as well.
Okay, before we talk about the book recycling, is the battery recycling, I see a, there's a box in our office, and I'm assuming in all the county offices, is that the battery recycling you're talking about?
Yeah, so we've got some county facilities have the battery recycling boxes, and then our facilities as well take both single-use and rechargeable batteries at 66 and 95 for recycling. So the boxes can take the smaller batteries, but if you've got like larger ones, they can go to 66.
Okay. Yeah, it's good to see that here. We go through so many batteries here at Channel 16. To know that it's going somewhere and not just ending up in the ground is great. So book recycling.
Yes. You know, I think a lot of us have a lot of books. I don't know. I love to read. My kids have a ton of books too. Another need expressed by residents was what to do with books, particularly hardcover books, because you can't, while you can put softcover paperback in the recycling, hardcover has two different materials on it, and you can't put that in the recycling. And then you can donate them, but sometimes places won't accept, you know, a whole bunch of books or aren't accepting them at that time. So we've partnered with one Legacy Books, and they are, we just got the bins at the 66 transfer station yesterday. What they do is very similar to HelpSee. They are a group that basically works with resale and will take any book with an ISBN code on it, you know, something that they can scan. And the higher quality books they'll sell online. They'll bundle other that ones that maybe aren't, you know, are lesser quality and sell them to bigger groups that will then resell those. And then anything that can't be sold is sold to a paper recycler who has the ability to remove the covers and make sure the paper is recycled. So that's and similar to HelpSee as well, we get 15% of the profits back. And that'll go right back into our recycling services.
So you said you just added the bin as we're recording this yesterday, or the bins at the I-66.
Yes.
Was there any earlier pilot portion of this program where you can gauge the success?
We are, so, and it's New Legacy. I said one legacy.
Oh, okay.
But New Legacy has many drop-offs in New Jersey, actually, is where they started, and they've been very successful. And, you know, based off of how our HelpSee pilot has gone, we anticipate that this one will be pretty popular as well. We had a drop-off event for Fairfax Recycles Day in November, and we included books knowing that this pilot was coming up, and we were overwhelmed with, you know, hundreds of books from just that one event. So I think, you know, what's nice about these initiatives is that they're transparent. Hopefully people know where things are going and know that they're going to help, you know, also be reused or recycled, but also, you know, a small profit is coming back and going right back into these recycling services. So I think that's one of the benefits of having them. So we hope to expand as well, you know, based off of the need to mirror the HelpSee initiative and put them out in other county locations as well eventually.
This sounds pretty good because, like you said, not everyone is always accepting books. What other types of recycling is solid waste management considering?
Well, we have we're exploring a couple of things. One would be a curbside organics recycling for some of our county collection customers. We'd like to do a pilot to see the interest in basically food scrap collection. So you would put it out with your yard waste, essentially. Hmm. And we have drop-offs now at 66 and 95, and the Fairfax County Park Authority Farmers Markets have drop-offs as well. But you know, trying to make it more convenient for people. So we're looking at that. We're exploring trying to make ways, make it more convenient for people. So partnering with other groups for drop-off events, such as like electronic waste. And just, I think, also making sure that people are aware that they have these free services at 66 and 95 to use. You know, we take white goods or like you know, your dishwashers and your things that are mostly metal, metal scrap, oils, including motor and cooking oil, glass, bikes. You can drop off old bikes and they'll get reused. We have a ton of services that are out there, and you know, 66 is open 6 days a week, so we're trying to get the word out about that, but also bringing those services out to people that may not be able to get there.
I'm a big fan of the I-66 landfill. I go there at least once a quarter. I'll be finding myself cleaning up and try and get my family to come with me and share my enthusiasm, which they don't, but at least one of us does. Quick question about the food scrap. Is that composting? And B, do you work with restaurants who I know have to, by necessity, throw away a lot of food?
Yes, it is composting. So the food scraps in our case are at the facilities go our vendor's compost crew, and they take it and it's commercially composted. Okay. And then that is sold as a soil amendment. We are, you know, we encourage commercial businesses like restaurants to compost. And, you know, as we grow as a program, we hope to expand that. That is definitely one of those food waste is a big problem. You know, we're looking for partnerships with people like Fairfax Food Council and others who are trying to do food rescue and things to help prevent that food waste, you know, and looking for ways to divert it. So there's some really cool initiatives in a way, you know, from other groups that we're trying to kind of build off of too.
So in general, how should residents think about recycling in their daily lives?
I think it's important to remember that there are three R's. So reduce and reuse are in there too. And especially, you know, it's the holiday season. We're getting ready to buy a lot of stuff, being a conscious consumer and thinking about what you're buying. I've been spending a lot of days recently at the 66 transfer station doing some trash auditing, and it's really depressing what you see being thrown away.
Yeah.
So when you're buying something, think, you know, where will this be in 5 years? And buying things that, you know, are that will be long lasting, I think. Trying to avoid the single use plastics. And, you know, looking at reuse is great. And secondhand, you can always go secondhand shopping. There's some really cool, unique finds. Very trendy now to do thrift store, you know, treasure finds. And then I think if especially for Fairfax County residents, like you said, you can save up a bunch of things that maybe are harder to recycle. You can't recycle at the curbside, but if you're going to be, you know, in the Fairfax area or the Lorton area, save them up and just make a quick run to your one-stop shop, you know, at 66 Transfer Station or the I-95 landfill, and you can get rid of them all and know that they're going to, you know, a good place, and you're making a big difference. So,
yeah, and not for nothing, it's kind of cool to visit and see all
cool.
the different areas and the big machines and all that kind of stuff. Okay, last question here. All of this obviously costs time and money. What's the value added for residents of Fairfax County of all this recycling?
Well, I think, you know, there's as we said, there's a lot of costs associated with trash, right? There's the financial cost of getting rid of it. And that comes through, you know, the fees that you pay, the collectors pay, there's a tipping fee, things. And so as we don't have space, those costs are going to go up. So we're trying to divert waste to help, you know, from an economic standpoint. But there's also the community health and environmental piece. And unlike other municipalities, we have these services that are generally free for residents and open, you know, almost daily, where you don't have to wait for a drop-off event every quarter or things. So there's a lot of opportunity to help divert that waste and really reduce not just the carbon footprint, but saving all of these natural resources that are really an asset. So we have a great opportunity here to treat trash as a resource. And I think what's nice is we see residents are very, I mean, they're very passionate about it and very interested in it. I think they bring the value by using the services, frankly. And so one thing we are is always open to new ideas. So that's what's great about the trash world. Things are always changing and there's always new opportunities out there. So we welcome anybody's ideas about how to better serve this.
Outstanding. Well, Katie, thank you so much for catching us up on the county's recycling efforts and the new programs coming out. And also thanks for your efforts in just keeping this place clean and beautiful. I think I speak for us all. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for listening to EnviroPod. If you want to get more information on the Fairfax County Department of Public Works and Environmental Services and all that it does, go to fairfaxcounty.gov/publicworks. Or call 703-324-5033, weekdays between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Thanks again for joining us on EnviroPod, which is produced by the Fairfax County, Virginia government.